Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Zion Mennonite Church this morning. Good to see many of you on here with us this morning. I know many in the congregation are still without power, so we recognize that, and we're hopeful power soon will be restored. Maybe even some of you are joining this morning and you still have power, but you found other means to join. So we certainly appreciate just everyone that we can be together this morning. Through this, you'll see that I'm not at church. There's still no power at the church building, so I'm at home. I have a little, I was going to say contest, but there's no prizes really. I could come up with something maybe. But behind me, there is a poster, and it goes along with the sermon this morning. It says, it's a picture, if you can't see it, it's a picture of a salt shaker and a light bulb. And the caption is, "Be these." And it's Matthew 5, 13 to 16, and that's the text this morning. So the contest is this. I found this. Well, actually, I was told about it. Jana told me this was a poster located in the church building somewhere. So I got it and brought it to my house for this morning. So if you know the location of where I got this from, just put it in the chat box, and we'll see who knows where this poster came from. Announcements for us this morning. The things that we had planned for this morning to have our candidate come and join us this morning, that has been postponed. That will now be March 7th. So that's in 2 weeks. And we're doing this on faith that there's going to be electric at church and that things are going to, we'll be able to do that. But what we've learned, and I thought we learned this in 2020, but maybe we need more learning on it. Flexibility and go with the flow and adjust as we need to. And that's what this is all about. But our plans are March 7th, the candidate will be here. March 6th, you'll receive that email, just a get to know you video. So that will be in 2 weeks, March 7th. Next week, February 28th, will be what we were hoping to do was our budget meeting last week. So we're postponing that to the 28th. So February 28th will be the budget meeting. That's next Sunday. And then the following weekend will be the pastor candidate weekend on March 7th. Also next Sunday will be the fundraiser that was planned. We're going with that. You've got the soup lunch fundraiser for Vita Velez Senior Center. So that's happening next Sunday from 8:30 to 9:30. So you're going to come to church, be able to pick that up, make a donation. We're also going to provide the things we had planned to give out on Valentine's Sunday, last Sunday, that we were unable to. So that's going to be available for pickup next Sunday as well. Again, it's a step of faith that we're going to have electric and power at the church next Sunday. If not, then we'll adjust as we need to for that as well. These announcements are in your bulletin, but I recognize some of you might not even be able to get your bulletins. So when we do get power back and things are flowing again, there'll be lots of things to catch up on, I'm sure. I think that's all the announcements. If I missed something, unmute yourself and tell me what I missed. All right. I think we're good to go there. Good. So this morning we are looking forward to what God has for us, our call to worship. Avery and Paul will be doing that and opening prayer. Just remember to unmute yourself when it's your turn and to unmute your video so we can see you. So now for our call to worship.
Thank you, Paul and Avery, for leading us in our call to worship this morning.
God is our light and our salvation. Whom shall we fear?
God is our shelter and refuge in days of trouble, and he is our hope and joy in days of celebration.
Day after day, we seek God's face and the promise of God's holy love.
O God, do not turn from us or hide your face from us. Be our guide and our light instead.
One thing we ask, God, that we may live in God's dwelling place all the days of our life and never cease to behold the beauty of God's home.
Beloved of God, enter this worship in thanksgiving, for God is among us and with us. Thanks be to God.
And I will also be doing the prayer, our opening prayer. I will start. Jesus, light bearer, into the shadows of our isolation, you speak words of life and community. Friend and savior of our lives, you call us from places where we are sheltered to lead us more deeply into the world you love. With your gentle, healing touch, you redeem the broken places of our lives and to heal the wounded places of the earth. Inspire our worship here this day so that we may receive liberation in your word and be filled to overflowing to share your reconciling love throughout the earth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Shine, Jesus, shine, fill this land.
These words for the lighting of the mercy, peace, and justice candle. God of light and truth, we call ourselves your people. Help us to be worthy of our calling. Jesus has called us the salt of the earth and the light of the world. May we joyfully undertake the task before us that through his church, we may be your instruments to bring light and peace to a dark and troubled world. God, we ask for these gifts in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Planting the bulbs, where it all begins. This story starts in the fall last year, just after Halloween. Do you remember that time? See how the leaves were all changing then? You remember that? Last fall. All the leaves were changing colors, and it was getting cold outside. It was getting cold outside, leaves were changing colors, and I got a special package in the mail. Yeah, look at that, a special package. I opened it up. Look there, I'm opening it up. And there were little packages inside. Look at that. They were from the Wooden Shoe Bulb Company, and each one of the little packages had flower bulbs inside. Do you know what a flower bulb is? It's like a tiny baby flower that's still sleeping. Yeah, they're still sleeping in there. A tiny baby one. On the back of each package, there were planting instructions. It said what to do and how to plant them. Yeah. How to plant them. So now it was time to plant the new bulbs in the ground, and I went outside and found a good spot here in this flower bed. I took this little hand trowel and I used it to clear the stuff away, you know, the weeds, and to make sure that the ground was soft. I dug it in there a little bit, and there were maybe some rocks that needed to come out, that kind of stuff. Yeah, the ground is a little bit hard here and kind of rocky, but it's a pretty good place to put some baby flowers. Yeah, a pretty good place for that. Do you have some ground at home that might be a good place for baby flowers like this? You might. You should look. Next year, when it's Halloween time again, because that's the best time to put them in. Usually right before Halloween. But mine came a little bit late, so it was right after Halloween that I put them in. Yeah. But then I took the little bulbs and I put them in the ground there. The instructions told me what to do, and I put them in the soft ground. Yeah, right there. You see, they're all getting put in there in the soft dirt. You can use my hand to make a good place for them to be, and then put some nice soft dirt over them again so that they'll be warm and safe in there. Warm and safe from the snow, if there's snow in the winter, or if it rains real hard. That's a good place for flowers to sleep in there. Yeah, a good place for the flowers to sleep. And besides just putting them there at my house, I also put some at my mom's house. See, there's my mom, and she's pulling the weeds out there. She pulls the weeds out there first, and that helps her get a nice spot for the flowers. Yeah, a nice spot for the flowers. So, see how she's moving the shovel back and forth there now? Moves the shovel back and forth and gets a good spot for the flowers. Where she'll want them to grow. And then she uses the shovel to loosen the dirt up. See, she's using both sides of the shovel. Yeah, she digs a little trench there. Yeah, a little trench in the ground. Yeah, see, there she goes. Digging a little bit more, and she uses her hand too, and she's taking out maybe some little baby rocks or other things. And you see there are some other plants already growing there too, so you know it's a good place for plants to be. And then we put them there, see? Right in the dirt. Yeah. Just the little baby plants. We pressed them right in there into the dirt. And then it was time to cover them with a little dirt too. Yeah, so they would be safe all winter, and they would be able to grow when the weather gets warm. Oops, one came out, got stuffed back in there. Okay, getting them all stuffed in there. Have to be a couple inches into the dirt. Yeah, so we get them all stuffed in there properly, get the bad rocks out, and then time went by while the bulb stayed in the ground. And the leaves turned brown, and they all fell off the trees onto the ground. But what was going on underneath the ground? We didn't even know. What was going on with those baby flowers underneath the ground? Were they sleeping? We don't even know what they were doing, do we? Because we can't see them. Okay, so next week, we'll get to see a little bit more of what the baby flowers were doing underneath the ground. They were waiting there quietly for the weather to get warmer again. All right, let's bow our heads and pray. God, be with us, just like you're with the baby flowers underneath the ground. And help us to be ready to grow when the time is right, when the sun comes out to make us warm. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm Eva, and I'm going to be reading Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven.
All right. Thank you all for helping this morning. I appreciate each person participating in our service, and for those joining us, again, welcome. Some have probably come on since our announcements this morning. Again, I encourage you when you can to get your bulletin through email. This morning, we're going to continue our sermon series with the Sermon on the Mount. Last Sunday, we took a little bit of break from the Sermon on the Mount. There were just a few of us were able to join through Zoom last Sunday, and we just kind of stepped aside, talked a little bit about Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, and now we're going to step back into this sermon series that continues through this book of Matthew here. Now, the poster behind me, it was already guessed where it came from, so I believe Avery probably is the one that typed in and said it was in the youth room is where it was found. So he is the winner of the contest, so woohoo, way to go, applause, and there's really no prize, but it is good to know that the building is still there and things are, you know, it's a lonely building and even more so now without electric, but we are looking forward, first off, to get electric back to our building and for many of you in your homes as well. And also to, at some point, and it might be a while yet to get back in the building, certainly. The Sermon on the Mount, again, in the book of Matthew. In this study, we continue to try and learn more about what Jesus was communicating to the disciples and then to us today. We looked at the Beatitudes and that understanding of the blessings that come from who we are, the character, the nature of us as Christians, as believers, as followers of Jesus. This morning, this text is kind of a, some have looked at it and called it a hinge text. It is a step from what would be the blessings of the Beatitudes, and we'll step into then in the following sermons more of what we're being called to, the tasks before us as Christians. But here Jesus is focusing in on salt and light. And if you remember a while back, I did show a flashlight and talked about being the light, and so we'll pick up a little bit on that again this morning. But I want to talk about salt a little bit. Have you ever eaten something that has too much salt, and the flavoring of salt, and sometimes we eat things that need a little bit more salt. It's interesting to note here for me, Jesus saying you're the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness. Now, and I often thought, how does salt not be salt? How does that happen? Because it seems to me that salt can never not be salt. And from what I've been learning and studying this text over the years, and then some more emphasis as I prepare it for this sermon, there's a variety of ideas of what Jesus was talking about. But it seems to me one of the prominent ideas here would be that salt was not easily available in the time of Jesus. And so when they would find good salt, often what they would do would be to mix in other things to make the salt go a little bit further. What those other things were, other kinds of minerals, perhaps even just, you know, a little bit of and I don't know, it's just what I read, but maybe some dirt mixed in with the salt to just make the salt last longer. And it seems like that's what Jesus was talking about here. If the salt loses its saltiness, if you put too much other things in with the salt, whether it was dirt or sawdust, or I don't know what they would have used, but it will eventually not be able to taste or do what salt, the other thing would be preserved to do what salt is meant to do or what salt is able to do. And that's more of what we see here in Jesus talking about this, that we're the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, then the question is, how can it be made salty again? And if it is, if pure salt is being cut with some other kind of material to get that pure salt back out after it's already been mixed in with sawdust or dirt, we can't do it. It's lost its saltiness. And in other places in the scriptures, it says all that's worth doing then, once it gets to that point where it's no longer able to be salt, is we throw it out. And so the challenge here is to understand in this text, what does Jesus mean when he's saying to his disciples, you're the salt of the earth? So I did a study, and I'm going to share my screen, which is always interesting to me because technology sometimes can challenge us, or me anyway. So I'm going to share my screen, and what I'm sharing with you are going to be some pictures. This is my hope. And these are pictures. We'll start from the beginning. Pictures that I took when I was on a trip, a missions trip to Chile. And part of that trip, we were working on the coast of Chile. And what you see here is a pile of salt. And this salt is sea salt. And you can kind of see in the background there, they have these little ponds that they fill with ocean water from the Pacific Ocean. They fill these ponds and then they let the water evaporate. And as it evaporates, the salt is a layer on the bottom of those ponds. And then what they do is they bring that salt and put it in piles and they let it dry. The sun keeps drying it. And eventually they're going to be able to take that salt. And you see the little pathways there between the salt piles. That is, they would take wheelbarrows and fill those wheelbarrows with that salt and get it up closer to the road like this pile is. And then they would put it in bags and take it to be further processed. Boy, what a process to get salt. There's another picture of the salt and the piles of salt. It kind of, if especially with our experience over the last couple of weeks, it kind of looks like snow almost. So I show you these pictures just to get an image of salt, but I learned some more about salt this week. Well, it was probably 2 weeks ago because I had prepared this sermon for last Sunday. Here's some statistics, some understanding about salt. Only about 6% of the salt manufactured in the world is used in food. 6%. The remainder, 12%, is used in water conditioning processes, and maybe some of you have a water conditioner in your homes. 8% goes for de-icing on highways, and maybe we wish that percentage would have been higher in the past week, but it's used for de-icing of highways. 6% is used in agriculture, and the rest, which is about 68%, is used for manufacturing and other industrial processes. So to think about the salt and its uses, this use in industrial processes. It goes on and says sodium chloride is one of the largest inorganic raw materials used by its volume. And this is interesting. Its major chemical products are caustic soda and chlorine, which are separated by electrolysis of a pure brine solution. Well, maybe that wasn't so interesting, but here's what I found more interesting. This product of salt then is used to manufacture things like PVC, plastics, paper pulp, and other things as well. Salt's used as a flux in the production of aluminum. And in this process, for this purpose, a layer of mixed salt floats on the top of molten metal. This is the making of aluminum. And that salt floating there removes iron and other metal contaminants. Salt's also used in manufacturing of soaps, glycerin, synthetic rubber. It's also used in the process of firing pottery to make that glaze. And there's more about what salt's used for, but just these are some of the things that salt is used for that I found interesting. And to remember again, I'll stop sharing here, that Jesus, in Jesus' time, in this story, this understanding of Jesus preaching, what they would have known more than anything is that salt was used as a preservative and a flavoring, but primarily as that preservative. But to think about, you know, all these other uses that we found today, that the majority of those uses is for manufacturing and for these other industrial purposes. Now, I learned all this interesting, and maybe some of you are thinking, not so interesting, statistics and understanding about salt from the internet. And Wikipedia primarily is where I used to get that information. But as we all know, things we learn from the internet aren't always right. So we need to take this information with a grain of salt. Jesus' teaching, we're to be the salt of the earth. What's it mean to be a preservative? The salt was used in Jesus' time to preserve meat. As I understand it, they would take salt, they would salt steak or whatever the meat was, and they would actually take take the salt, put it on the meat, but then they would pound that salt into the meat as best as they can, because this was to help preserve it. And in that preservation of meat in that day, they would have used, you know, as much salt as they could stand as far as the ability then to eat that piece of meat later. But in reality, that salt would not preserve that meat forever. It would preserve it for a time, but eventually that meat, if it were not eaten and properly stored and prepared with that salt, eventually it's still going to rot. But it was able to help preserve it for a time. And is there some of what Jesus is saying to his disciples in this Sermon on the Mount and to us today, that as Christians, as believers and followers of Jesus, there's an aspect of who we are that is a preservative in the world and culture in which we live? And that you and I, in our function, in our being, in who we are, have a preserving aspect to this world. Now, I think that we can all see and understand that there's like this world that we live in that doesn't understand or perhaps even know or desire to know Jesus, this culture in which we live in. And many of us here in the United States, that's kind of our frame of reference. But there seems to be an ongoing, and I don't want to say it's a decay process, but there seems to be less of a spiritual faith following of Jesus. And this seems to be that there's more of a pressure or push against that understanding of faith and being a follower of Jesus. And part of what Jesus calls us to, what Jesus is saying in the Sermon on the Mount, is that we're to be preservative even in the midst of those tensions and those times that are sometimes a struggle or sometimes just even hard to understand as we watch this culture, this world around us, whether it's in the news, whether it's things that are happening in our neighborhood. All of these things seem to say that there's going to be a process, an ongoing of decay or corruption in our culture, and that there's a call on us as believers, as followers of Jesus, to be the salt, to be that preservative in our earth. But also, secondly, salt's a flavoring, right? It brings flavor to the things that we eat, a variety of things that maybe we eat. And that flavoring, too, is about who we are as people, as followers of Jesus, as Mennonites, as people who are connected to Zion, people who live in this area and maybe wherever you're at. But in that, we're a flavoring. To be a flavoring in this world, in this culture. And what does it mean to be a flavoring? Well, if we go back to what Matthew just recorded for us in the Beatitudes, I think that's the key in this kind of this hinge into the next part of understanding the Sermon on the Mount. And the hinge is, if we're to be salt, preserve, and flavoring, then it's our character of who we are. It's our nature of being a Christian. And that's those blessings, being poor in the spirit, those who mourn, the meek, and so forth. But in that, in just the being of who we are, the nature of being a Christian, it flavors those around us. Now, maybe that's some of the simple things. Maybe simple is not the right word. Maybe some of the ordinary things, and I don't even know if that's the right word, of what we do in life. You know, to be flavoring is maybe to allow someone to go in front of you in line at the grocery store. It's to be someone who's kind and nice to those that maybe aren't so kind to you. That's about flavoring. It's about being the example of showing who we are in Christ to others. Because ultimately, in this text, where we're headed, what I would say is for the sermon today, what we want to look at really is that verse 16, that we are the light before people, before the world. And we are that. We are the light. We are the salt for the very reason it says that your good deeds, that people will see your good deeds, that people will see that we're being that flavoring. And the result of that isn't, Jesus isn't calling the result of that to be that we get to feel good, or people look at us and say, oh, look how good Bill is. Isn't he such a good neighbor? No, what it is about is to praise that all, when people see that in us, that they will praise God because of that. So that if I go to my neighbors to shovel their driveway for because they have snow all over the driveway, that the neighbor somehow will recognize and give God glory. Now, for that to happen, there needs to be a relationship with that person about who I am and what my faith is and what I believe. And maybe that happens when we're driving and courteous to people on the road. Maybe that happens when we're in the store. I mean, these are people we don't have a deep relationship with. I'll tell you a story. I was working on one of our vehicles, and I needed to go to get a part. And the part I needed was an alternator for the car. And, well, actually, it was for the truck. I had to get an alternator for the truck. And at the parts store, when you get a new alternator, if you bring the old alternator back, then they'll give you credit for it. So I got the new alternator, put the new alternator on the truck, and took the old alternator back to the store to get credit. And what they did at the store was, instead of giving me the $25 credit for the core, the old alternator that I brought back, they gave me a complete credit and gave me a free alternator. So instead of just giving me a $25 credit, they gave me like a $200 credit for a free alternator. So I took that slip back as I was leaving the auto parts store, and I was a little puzzled, as the whole thing was a little confusing to me. So when I got back to my car, I pulled out the receipt that I'd been given, and I realized they had credited me $200 instead of the, I think it was $25 for the core. And I'm looking at that going, I could get a free alternator out of this deal. And I thought, no, that's probably not what I should be doing. And so I took that back to the store that I had just been in minutes earlier, and I kind of explained the situation. And the gentleman behind the desk, he just wasn't sure what to do with this. Because first off, he had made a mistake, and so that wasn't real cool with him. But also, just the fact that I would return and have to give up money that I had gotten was, I could tell it was puzzling to him. And so we worked through that. He said, thanks for being honest. And I missed an opportunity because, and again, I don't always get these things right, but looking back, what I should have said was, well, you know, I'm a believer in Jesus and I have to be honest. But what I did say is that I try to be honest as a human being or person. I forget how I said it, but even in that, just what I remember in that story is the puzzlement of the gentleman that was helping me behind the counter, of someone being honest. I think, and I don't always get it right or do well at that, but I think that's a little bit of what Jesus is talking about when he's saying be the salt of this flavoring, this preservative of being in the nature a good person because of our belief, because of our faith, because of our understanding of who God is and who God has created us to be. So salt, characteristic of salt, it's a preservative, it's a flavoring. And then also what I see is salt's really a change agent. Isn't that an interesting word? A change agent. Because when I think about all that salt and the salt byproducts get used for today in manufacturing and other places, that salt is bringing change to the and an effect on where it is placed. And I think an easy way to look at that is the de-icing nature of salt on the road or your driveway, because it alters and changes the chemical makeup of that ice to help it to melt and to get off our driveways, to get off our roads. It's a change agent. So how can I then think about that in regards to the things I do in this culture, the things that I'm called to, the relationships in which I work, to be that change agent? But again, the desire would be that when people see us, the change is about what God is doing and has done. One of the things that results from us eating salt or tasting salt is we get thirsty. It's a natural response to salt. And so then we seek after something to drink to relieve that thirst. And this change agent that we can be is that drawing out of people to an understanding of faith, an understanding of what we believe about the Bible. It's really about trying to help people see or maybe get a thirst for more of an understanding. And I need that, even in my own life as I study the Word of God, to continue to have that desire. And we need to encourage one another as believers to continue to be thirsty, to go after what God has for us. And that's part of this call to be salt. We are the salt of the earth. It's a preserving, it's a flavoring, but it's also that change agent. And then the second part of our scripture today is about being a light of the world. Now, so I have the poster from the youth room behind me, Be the Salt and Light. And you also see on the other side of me is the lighthouse. And that's a picture that hangs here all the time. I didn't just hang it up for this morning, although I did kind of arrange the camera setup so we could see it this morning. But it's just that understanding of being a light to those around us so that they're not seeing us, but they're seeing that God is at work in us, that God is present in this world. All right, I have another, it's a video clip that I have that I want to share with you. Now, I've tried to rehearse this and see if it would work, and it works about 50% of the time. So there's words with it, but if you just get the picture and there's no words, I think just watching the picture will convey some of this truth as well about being the light and to really think about this call from Jesus to be a light, a city on a hill, and to be that lamp. So I'm going to give this a whirl, see if it works. If you don't get sound, just hang in there, watch the whole video picture. It's just about 2 minutes long. If you don't get sound or picture, hum your favorite tune, and then we'll be back shortly with you again. So let's see if I can get this to work. So first off, if you could see it, just wave your hand. Who could see that video? All right, now second, who could hear it? All right, so not as many could hear it, but I think just that picture portrays really well, just seeing that video portrays well that what Jesus is talking about, being that light to the world and that call, that ongoing call in our life, that's about doing things that are what we're called to do. And the rest of the Sermon on the Mount is going to be about some of these doing pieces, but it's also about being, about who we are as believers and just being present. You know, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 15, Paul is writing and he says that we're to shine like stars in the universe. And that's that same kind of concept of who we are, our being as believers. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I want to read for us verse 31, and it goes into chapter 11 there in verse 1. Again, Paul writing this says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the church of God. Even as I try to please everybody in every way, for I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." So there I see Paul capturing kind of the same concept, this theory, this understanding of being salt and light, of doing all that we do so that brings glory to God. Does that mean that everything I do has to bring glory to God? That's something you're going to have to kind of think about and figure out for yourselves what that looks like in your life. But ultimately, the things that I do, they reflect who I am. And I know that my identity is based in God through Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. That is who I am. And so when I'm not reflecting the glory of God, I would look at it as being just forgetting who I am. I forget who I am, and I do things that are either counter to God, go against God, disobedience to God, all those pieces. But it comes out of because the nature of who I am has been changed once I became connected to God through Jesus. So, I mean, Jesus says to be salt and to be light. Not a lot of details in this. But we do know, Jesus says here, it's recorded in Matthew, it's recorded in Mark, it's recorded in Luke. If salt loses its saltiness, it gets thrown out. And maybe I can look at it in a way that if I allow too much of the disobedience, too much of the world to get combined in with my identity in Christ, I will easily forget more and more who I am. That's kind of how I would look at that. And now what do I do with this? What are the kind of the action steps that need to come out of this understanding? Two things I gave you this morning. One is if I'm to be salt and light, I need to know Jesus. I need to understand my faith, and I need to understand what God is calling me to. And part of understanding my faith, of knowing Jesus, is also then to know the gifts that have been given to me. And then what do I do with those? So first, get, you know, build my faith, know Jesus, but secondly, know what my mission is, know what my gifts are, know what God's calling me to, and to be able to use those gifts in such a way that when people see me or people get to know me, it is a reflection, or they are able then to see and give glory to God. Not easy, but it's what we work at. I mean, even as a congregation, we have this mission statement. It's in our bulletin, that what we are covenant together to be doing. That's part of knowing our mission, our identity, who we are, and to understand that in the context of our faith and in the context of our culture. That, I think, is being salt and light. You know, one thing that I've worked on, and I'll be honest, I worked on this in Bible college because it was an assignment, but I continue to work at it and think about, what is my mission, my personal mission? What is God calling me to? And to keep trying to formulate that and understand that. I'll give you a little bit of it. I won't give you the whole mission. It might get a little boring. But I keep trying to think about these are the things I think about as far as my mission, trying to be salt and light. I say, by God's grace, I'm working as a professional in the kingdom of God. I'm building more where many have already built. So I build carefully. For what I build must be based on Jesus. I believe the Bible is practical and applicable to everyday life and shows Jesus to those who look. I think it's important to know and understand the world I live in so I can make Jesus relevant to people today. As I build, I want to give others tools and skills so they can join the building of God's kingdom as well. And I want to proclaim the truth of God plainly so many can hear and understand. And I've based my thinking and my understanding on the philosophy of ministry on several verses. And I'll give you these as we kind of wrap things up here this morning. 1 Chronicles 12:32, it's talking about David's men, and verse 32 says, the men of Issachar who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. And that's what I really would like to understand, the times, and I struggle with understanding these times, but then to know what to do with that. 1 Corinthians 3:10, another verse, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how they build. So those are some reflections on personal mission, what God's calling me to. How can I be salt and light so that there is a preserving, that there's a flavoring, and then there's changes that happen. That's what's going on in me and in those that I come into contact with, but ultimately to give God glory. That is what we're working on. And so recognizing now this is going to be a step into the rest of the Sermon on the Mount. And so next week, we're going to continue in this. And the text for next week can be a little bit intimidating because it's about the law. I'm going to try and work our way through this in an understanding that helps us connect with, again, being salt and light. This is who we are as people, our character, to be identified in Christ with God. Let me pray for us. God, thank you for this morning, for the technology that allows us to connect with people in this way. God, this call to be salt and light, help us in that, God. Help us to know just how to go about our relationships, our connection with people, so that we can be salt and light. God, when we goof up and miss opportunities, when we aren't reflecting who we really are, remind us again of that to which you call us to. Give us the capacity to ask for forgiveness if we need to, but also to try and keep being salt and light, moving forward in that so that others see us. And when they do see us, they give glory to God. Boy, what an opportunity for us to be able to do that, God. I thank you for those opportunities. And I know even in the midst of the cleanup that needs to happen around us right now from the storm, helping one another, God, this is about being salt and light. Help us to do that in a way that does bring honor and glory to you. Amen.
Hallelujah.